Welcome to the Game Shelf Campaigns Podcast, Season 1 featuring Pandemic Legacy. This is Episode 110, where we talk about what happened during our playthrough of September and what we think may be happening in our upcoming games. If you're interested in listening to all of the September game, feel free to check out Episode 109.5. And if this is the first episode you're tuning into, welcome! You may want to consider starting with Episode 100 for introductions and to hear what we had to say before we started playing. This should go without saying, but in this podcast, we talk about what actually happens during our playthrough. So this is your official warning that there will be spoilers for the rule changes and game modifications that happened during a Pandemic Legacy campaign. If you haven't yet played through September, this is your chance to pause the episode until you've reached that milestone. With that out of the way, let's tune into Season 1, Episode 110. September.
Well, that was the first half of September.
Yep.
It did not go as well as we had anticipated.
No.
Yeah, so right off the bat, we had a major change to the game come up in September.
Halfway through the third turn?
Yes, the third person's turn, first round. We did find the... what's the name of the person we were tracking down?
Sergeant Michael Davidson.
He was the paranoid paramilitary.
Yeah. So we went gangbusters to try to find our paramilitary person who had gone rogue. We found him, all right. Halfway through Ryan the Soldier's first turn, my first turn on that one. And as it turned out, Ryan, because he had the upgrade to remove a fated figure whenever he left a city, that was the thing that noted him as the kind of defecting paramilitary character, and we had to destroy him.
That was pretty brutal.
And that was halfway through my turn.
Now, we'd put together a strategy for the team that involved... using him in combination with the dispatcher to keep faded figures kind of coming off the board. And, of course, that went away.
Yeah. And
immediately.
With that, my cards also got discarded. My player cards got discarded. And I became a civilian.
Yeah. Yeah, you
civilian
did.
Civilian of the game for us.
Yeah, we've not had to deal with that. And it's the first time the game has forced it on us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wildly unpleasant.
Wildly unpleasant, and made the rest of that really tough, especially since, this is jumping ahead a little bit, but the civilian, if he would take a scar, loses all their cards and goes to a new research station, kind of respawns as a new character. So I first spawned as Patty.
Yep.
And then had to respawn again on a total fluke. You know, it was one of those cards that came up off the bottom of the deck and then hit after an epidemic. So no chance to move, no way to know that that was coming up.
Brutal.
And that lost, you know, cards that we were going to use on that very next turn to establish a cure for one of the diseases. So it was double whammy, maybe triple whammy?
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, we didn't have any cures in this game.
Zero.
We were close so many times, and then something terrible would happen.
Yeah. I almost cured Red twice.
Twice.
Two times.
Yeah.
And when we found that paranoid soldier and had to destroy Ryan and all of the craziness, we also had to destroy one of the objectives that we were very close to completing.
Oh, yeah.
It was the one where you put a military base in each of the six regions. We had five of the six, and then that went away entirely and was replaced by a brand new destroy military bases objective.
So really, at the end of August, by having set a couple of starting military bases, We just gave ourselves more opportunity to take those down.
That's right.
Yep.
That's the
Pollyanna-ish
view of how that went down.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah, so big change. The stuff that came in the package was pretty cool. Like, it's a nice little touch. The new objective looks like a different styling on the card instead of a kind of sleek, you know, almost militaristic type of text on it. It is hand scribbled out there. Very, very nice touch. Very well done. As with all of the figures and cards and such in the game, like, they, again, doing a great job.
Yeah, I feel like I'm not going to take the time to look this up, but I'm kind of wondering if they actually hired writers to work on this game. Because it has a really nice, I don't want to say like narrative flow, but like it feels, that's what it feels like. It feels like it has a nice narrative flow.
Yeah, well, and there's a definite story arc going on that we are progressing through.
Yeah.
And what's kind of cool about it is it does feel like we are involved in that story arc.
Right.
Even though so many of these things are like, it's wrapped up in the, you know, in the deck, or it's in a thing that we pull off of the top secret cards. I mean, it's, you know, we know it's not changing, but it feels like we're, you know, experiencing it like it's something we're doing.
Yeah, one of the, I mean, of the two, of the packet that, you know, the Paranoid Soldier gave us, there are two cards, and at the top of one of them it says, "You have been played." And in the other one, it talks about how we've been betrayed by this one particular character, but, you know, at a broader level, the people that we thought, you know, our employers, like the people.
Yeah.
And it feels like a betrayal. Like, I actually, like, I emotionally in real time feel betrayed. Like,
oh, yeah.
I am upset by it.
Yeah.
And so that's a great little magic trick that these guys have done, which I think, I don't know that my surprise at their ability to do that is, you know, I can't overstate it. Like, it's just a board game.
Yeah.
But, like, they managed to be able
create
to
create that attachment.
To create that attachment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was saying before, the military bases effectively still operate in exactly the same way that they did before. So one of the new objectives, one of the new overall sort of themes of the game now, is that they used us to build out this military infrastructure to help do a world coup, basically. And so now it's up to us to undo the structure that we have put into place.
Yeah.
And so effectively, the only gameplay change is that we have to we optionally can choose to destroy two military bases a game.
Mm-hmm.
As
one of our objectives.
Right. But they still function exactly the same way. They can still be very useful for us to travel. They're still robust in these cities that are rioting or collapsing.
Yeah, in fact, we ended up not destroying any, even though we could have destroyed two or more if we'd really had our hearts set on it. There's no mechanical reason to do more than two.
Right.
But we had ample opportunity to do that. But instead, we kept the military bases around. And in my perspective, at least with what we know about the objectives and what we know about how this is going to go, you know, there is a, it's a good thing for us to have the military bases still out there. And having, you know, destroyed two of them in this last game wouldn't have gotten us anything.
It would not have.
It would have been an exercise in futility, and we wouldn't have those to be able to travel between, or for our operations expert to be able to push out quarantine markers from using his special power, and you know, some of the other special powers that come with being at a military base.
Exactly. And I understand this, and I think it's so smart for us to keep them, and yet I desperately want to destroy them all deep in my heart.
Right?
Which, and that is fascinating.
It's so smart how they did it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so there was also a lot of...
The what?
I said it was brutal.
Yeah, it was brutal. Through that brutality, we also had a lot of little table talk conversation around what's coming in the remaining months. You know, obviously, it's September, and we'll have to play September again.
Yeah.
But there's only October, November, December at the end of that. And one of the things I keep harping on, and I think there's a pretty good consensus around this, is that we're going to have to go back into some of these cities that have been, you know, infected with the Coda disease to be able to, you know, kind of take them back over. And there's the immunologist that we have not found yet, who I think will make that easier for us. And it will behoove us to have found the immunologist to be able to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, but that figures into things like game end upgrades. Like, well, do we put more roadblocks on there to be able to keep the Coda cities contained? Because right. You can contain them, but that also makes it harder to get in there. You know, it's more that military structure that we might have to undo.
Yeah.
So.
I also really liked that the plot moved forward in this game based on an objective that we optionally completed. Mm-hmm. I think until now, it's just been turning over cards in the God deck, as we keep calling it. But we turn over cards in the Legacy deck just based on how far we've progressed. Like, oh, it's September, flip over this many cards. This was the first time I recall opening something that we kind of had an optional choice about. You know, we elected to complete that objective, and then when we did, it totally turned our game around.
Yeah.
That could have happened 2 game months from now.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? Or not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know how that would work out.
Jim, maybe at some point it would have forced us to find the paranoid soldier. Probably. But maybe not.
I think I probably would have forced us somewhere.
So here's the thing, probably, but if they're already building out Season 2, isn't it interesting if we just haplessly go through the rest of the game never realizing that we're patsies, and then that informs how Season 2 progresses?
That would be really interesting.
Yeah.
Well, and I think we've thought for a long time, you know, we're going to need to find these people, and that'll be important in whatever the end game is. But now I'm beginning to think it's important in ways we haven't even thought of. You know, like the end game might be entirely different based on whether or not you found these people. Not just in how capable are you of handling the end battle, whatever that is, but what is the end battle? Are you fighting a different war if you haven't found all the people?
Yeah, well, because what if we pivot and it goes from... Yeah, we have enough now to take care of Coda, but we really have to take on this industrial complex.
Right. Right. It'll be really interesting to see how it comes together.
Yeah.
I still feel really defeated after this game, though. We weren't even halfway through, and I thought, oh, God.
This was brutal.
Yeah, and not one of our quicker games, either.
No.
No.
It was a slow loss.
It was such a mental shift that happened 11 minutes into our play of the game. You know, after setup, 11 minutes worth of play, and boom, this bombshell hit.
Yeah.
It was a very good episode of something for that, you know, in that way. Where I don't feel like we got kind of screwed by that right toward the end. You know, it was
the card placement. Yeah. It was the card distribution.
Yeah. Also, interestingly enough, and we called this out during play, but that all went down in Tehran, which is City Zero. So
appropriate.
Yeah. Once again, we've had kind of that pivotal moment of something happening in City Zero. Stuff keeps going back there. And... I mean, it was a fluke, because that's where we had a military base. Somebody happened to have the Tehran card.
We were able to start there.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Regime change, right?
Yeah.
Yikes.
So, Yeah, I mean, it's...
It was so narrative that it happened.
Yeah.
I mean, even just reading the guy's card, you know, and he's talking about how he was there when it went down. And, like, there we are, in the city where it started.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I don't like it either, little one.
Yeah. This is, this, I guess not reminds me, but I think of, Star Wars Edge of the Empire,
yep.
Which this podcast is not about that, but how it feels like we've achieved somehow in this game what one of the aims of what we're trying to achieve, not we, but like people in general would try to achieve with an RPG like that.
The story is fantastic.
Yeah.
Like the narrative story aspect of how it's coming together and our agency in being able to do that. In that way. This is a light role-playing game in a sense. I mean, we have characters, we're assigning names to them. They carry these different relationships that we are choosing to have. I mean, all of those are, you know, both abilities and setbacks or scars that you have. All of that is, you know, aspects of role-playing that's built into this.
Sure.
But it is definitely a board game. It's a tabletop board game.
Right.
Not a pure role-playing game.
Yeah.
That's really cool, though. It's a good parallel.
They do such a good job of getting you invested in the story, in the characters, the whole spiel. It's great.
Yeah.
I want all games to be this involved.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got our second playthrough of September coming up. And we've got a little bit, you know, we have that win bonus from August.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to advance the search track for the immunologist. And we've set things up with Deb, the quarantine specialist, to be able to help go after that.
Yeah.
You know, we are going to try to take advantage of that win bonus if we can, because it does make it two search spaces mm-hmm. easier to do that.
And we actually have a place we can search now. Part of the reason we haven't gone after that is because you needed a rioting, faded city.
Yeah.
And we had, like, collapsing cities and unstable cities. We didn't have any rioting, faded cities.
And through, what, four games now, that's our first one.
Yeah, it's very weird. It's strange, but we have one single city on the board that meets that criteria, and I think we're really going to have to push in this next game to go there and find this character.
Yeah. Well, and we're going to have to, as I'm looking at the board, we're going to have to put a military base in Mumbai.
Yeah, just to do it.
Yeah.
To do it, because none of us can stand in Coda None of us can stay. We're going to get a scar if we stay in Coda.
Yeah, I have a feeling we're going to be using the riot gear military equipment.
Oh yeah.
That we have, because we can literally have somebody get to that military base and attach the riot gear, which is show this card when starting your turn in a city containing faded figures. You do not have to take a scar.
Got it.
So you don't have to discard that card. You just have to hold on to it. You don't take a scar for starting there. This riot gear is going to be
huge.
Importante.
Yeah, it will probably be whatever cards we get dealt in the beginning, one of them will be getting that.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least for whoever's going to go and try to find that immunologist.
Yeah. Well, and I think our quarantine specialist is going to spend a lot of time standing there quarantining and holding that quarantine marker in place.
Yeah.
Until we get through that part. We just have to get through that part.
Yeah, and we can't let it get too collapsing.
Yeah.
All right. Other thoughts?
Oof.
I think September part two is going to be a little bit rough. I think we're capable of doing it, but it's going to be hard.
Mm-hmm. I tell you, I'll be happy to have a character again rather than just a civilian. That was... It's funny how much of a change that was for me, not being able to think about how to maximize the efficiency of my turn.
Yeah.
Because there was no special power, there was no relationship for me to think about. It was, well, no, I guess I'll do this, because it's the best option I have, and there's nothing special I can do otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, the closest you got was being able to take advantage of some of the disease upgrades.
Well, the other tough thing there is I kept losing all of my cards, meaning I couldn't even charter a flight somewhere or do a direct flight somewhere or try to collect them to come up with a cure. I mean,
that was just such a fluke, too.
Yeah,
it'll be good to have kind of a full team again.
Yeah.
I will definitely want to consider, since we'll have a little bit more funding this next game, putting in that card that allows you
free
to...
Free military base?
We might need that too. But no, I was going to say putting in the card that allows you to switch to a different character.
Different named character.
A different named character, yeah. Yep. And there was a moment early on when we were talking about things where I thought to myself, oh, this is going to be useful at some point. But I don't think right now, and of course, moments into the game, it's like, oh, that would have been really useful. Yeah.
Although,
of course, could have never come up.
Yeah, in fairness, we checked the deck for the second event card, right? And it was second from the bottom.
Yeah.
And
it was the last draw.
The last two cards were an epidemic and that event card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other event card we had in, you got it. The start of the game. So,
good cut.
And the funny part is, we were talking about how the one that was at the very bottom got more powerful the further toward the end of the game that it was. So, it sure was toward the end of the game.
Yeah, and boy, wasn't it powerful.
Actually, that one was your cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was. I was thanking myself for the cut.
Yeah.
For sure. I think we should take a look at the Virologist next game, especially with the Soldier gone
for sure.
An option to get these faded figures off the board.
Yeah.
And the board looks so much different to me now with the revelation of, like, regime change, and that we were patsies and we're, like, setting up this, this military infrastructure for them. Because now I look at the board and I see these stickers and I see these roadblocks we've set up, and, you know, this entire region has just gone to shit. It's kind of like, dear God, what have we done?
We did this.
Like, mm-hmm. we did this, and we specifically put these stickers on the board. Like, this is a tactile thing. You can run your hand along it and feel it.
Yep.
It's
painful.
Yeah. Good job, Pandemic. Mm-hmm. Well done. Well designed. But I think the next game's going to be easier, because we'll have a whole character. And we know that there aren't any surprises. We know that we don't get our next legacy card until the start of October, so...
Well, there aren't any surprises, except maybe once we find that other character.
Yeah.
So...
Excellent point. Excellent point.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the Immunologist is going to... allow us to start treating Coda cities, if not right away.
Yeah.
I mean, that will be an enabler in being able to do that, so.
Well, for what it's worth, the Virologist has, in red writing at the bottom of the card and a little logo, it says, you know, the gene sequence of Coda. And I was noticing that at the bottom of our letter from Sergeant Davidson, it has, you know, in similar font and color, we've got the virus development records. So it'll be interesting to see how many of those things we need to collect.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
September, take two. Are we going to do it?
I sure hope so.
You know, I don't know that we will or won't, but we'll probably blow up some military bases trying.
Yeah! We only have to blow up two, and we're going to get one at the start of the next game.
That's true.
It's two. Isn't it two? Or is it just one?
We get one more at the start of the next game.
Okay.
Just one more. But we have to blow up two.
I thought we got two at the start of each game.
Well, I can find out pretty quickly. Just one.
Oh, okay.
It's the first city that we infect is going to get three disease cubes or three faded figures.
Yeah, the first city you add disease cubes or faded figures that does not contain a starting military base or a sabotaged military base.
That's actually useful for us because we can just go right there and take care of those three cubes.
Interestingly enough, if there are no starting military base stickers remaining, there's no effect.
Hmm.
So, I believe we have four remaining.
Four, yeah. We have four.
How do you know that? Do you
see them? I had the card in front of me for most of the game. That's how I know.
Okay.
But
well, and we had four. We built a
probably
fifth.
Probably in that pile.
We built a fifth military base at the beginning of this game. I mean, we only built one, and we had five.
And there are eight total.
Yeah.
Yeah. So once we've destroyed all of those, I don't know, we have to build and destroy them the old-fashioned way, I guess.
Just like my grandpappy used to do.
Right.
Grandpappy? Probably grandpappy.
Yeah, I like that.
Grandpappy is not a thing.
Actually, search for the immunologist if you are in a faded city that is rioting. There doesn't need to be a military base there.
Good.
But I was thinking we would need one to get in and out quickly. But yeah, with the riot gear, we don't need that.
Right.
Yeah. But that's why I was thinking we would need to build a military base. Would be for transport. But not so.
Yeah, we don't need to. That's actually nice.
Thank goodness.
Okay. Onward, September.
Yep.